This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, you have noticed recently on Fridays we have a new show, Investing and Trading Live, with Josh Lilquist, president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. And if you've been a listener to our show over the years, you know we've had a long history with Online Trading Academy, and it has been great to have Josh with us and have this new show on Fridays from noon to 1. So, Josh, I wanted to get you on just a regular Haystack show here and introduce you to everybody. So I know we did this the first time you came on your show, but kind of give us a little background of yourself.
It's interesting because in the trading and investing world, a lot of people think you need a financial degree to actually trade and invest. Mm-hmm. Well, you actually don't. So I actually, you know, I used to do and be in the construction industry, and you know, highway heavy, own a company for a while, and you know, probably relating to a lot of your listeners, it's tough. It's tough in the construction market or world, and it's tough on the body. And I was really looking for something a little bit different because it's hard on the body, but I wanted to get out of working on that so I can do different things.
Sure.
Right? So I actually was in the construction industry for a long time, got into involved with Online Trading Academy, gosh, 8-9 years ago. It goes by so fast, you sometimes forget, right? But maybe that's just old age, right?
Exactly.
Trust me, I know. But, you know, I got involved with them a while back and just really learned how the financial markets worked on the institutional side. Just most people search for investing and trading education online, whether it's, you know, the University of YouTube, which is probably the worst place to go, or books, which is all outdated.
Sure.
And I was able to kind of see how that actually functions on an institutional side, like I said. So, you know, I came to Online Trading Academy, and I really wanted to understand and learn how to trade and invest the right way. Mm-hmm. Have a consistent strategy, have a step-by-step strategy, and that's what they really have, is a step-by-step strategy for your trading and investing decisions. So that's kind of how I got, you know, I started out, you know, doing construction, you know, something different like most people, and Right. Then got into Online Trading Academy and just work my way from there. And you know, I'm here and I'm here to stay. And it's a really good time. One of the things about the investing world is it's interesting. If it's sports or the markets, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what's pretty cool. It's a fun thing to get into. And for our listeners, I mean, if you're not in these markets, great opportunities, even though they're going down right now. And we talk a lot about that at the Academy, is different ways and strategies to trade with those institutions and not against them. So that's kind of how my background, you know, construction and just getting with Online Trading Academy and learning the skills of trading investing actually at the Academy here locally in Denver.
Right. And, hey, don't be fooled by the name Online Trading Academy, because they've got a nice campus right here in the Denver area. So kind of tell us about your facility.
Yeah, I mean, we got a state-of-the-art facility, and we got three classrooms, and people come in to classes to learn how the financial markets actually function. And I think that's one of the most important ways to learn about the financial markets, or really to learn anything, is actually in person. So yeah, we have these three classes, and we have free investing classes that we may give tickets away to later.
Okay.
If we get a chance to. But and we have instructors that actually teach those classes too. We have you know, several instructors at the Academy. We've actually been around 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 25 years this past June.
Centers all over.
Yeah, worldwide. Yeah. Most major city in the U.S., I think 7 different countries now. It keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So because the financial world is getting better and better, in my opinion, even, no matter which way these market goes. So yeah, we have centers all across the world, and you mentioned it's not just online, like you said, physical places to go for everyday people, adult education, to learn how to trade and invest. So we see people that come to our academy local here and that just want to know more mm-hmm. about the markets. Some people just want to have a better conversation with their broker. So we really trade or train anything on the financial markets, whether it's short-term income strategies or long-term wealth strategies.
All right. Josh Lilquist is our guest, president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. Hey, you can catch him every Friday, noon to 1, Investing and Trading Live. You do not want to miss this show. Josh really breaks it down with the markets, how you can understand them better. And as he said earlier, hey, you don't need a financial degree, all right, to listen to the show or to attend the classes, and we'll tell you how to do that here in just a moment. But who would you say online trading is ideal for?
Well, anybody, really.
Right.
But anybody that has a desire to do better in life. You think about it, most, you have a 95% that are not financially stable or secure, mm-hmm. and the 5% are. So there's a disconnect there on what they're doing, right? So it's really for most people that have a desire to do better with their finances. We have blue collar workers, white collar workers, every aspect of careers. Doctors, construction, nurses, real estate people. A lot of real estate people coming in to learn how to trade and invest. So it's really anybody, and we actually have people that come to our classes. My youngest student is probably about 14 or 15, and my oldest is 95. So age doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
But you think about it, maybe most of your listeners, maybe in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, that's a great time to learn about it and actually take charge in your accounts, because what happens when you retire? Well, you have to have something to live off of, right?
Sure.
So a lot of people that are looking to secure retirements or have strategies for income during those times come to our classes as well. So pretty much all aspects of life come to our academy here in Denver.
And hey, you're a little younger than me, quite a bit younger than me. But I tell you, I see a lot of my friends and people I went to high school with, different things like that. And we were talking just a few weeks ago, and I said, hey, is anybody really where they thought they would be at this point in time in their life financially? And not one person said, you know what, I've achieved every goal, I've had a good plan, I've worked the plan, and I'm right where I want to be. So I think that's a great point. Hey, no matter where you're at, it's never too late to start taking control.
Yeah, I think that's a great comment, because a lot of people are complacent and they're okay with status quo, because sometimes doing different things, it's tough for some people, because it's not what they're used to. It's a little bit different. And see, the markets, they're not new, they're just a little bit different. So people want to be able to have more, be able to do things. And we already talked about the 95% and 5%. There's a disconnect there, but the only difference in that, or there's several, but one of them is actually taking action.
Yeah.
Some people are afraid to take action. And that's what we really do at Online Trading Academy, is we inspire people to do things a little bit differently to get different results. And that's one of the great things, is that way you're no longer in status quo. It's right. Easy being in there. One of the things, I did a TV show a while back, and we talked about, some of the worst feelings are being in that same position you are today, 1 year from now and 2 years from now. So that's why you have to do things a little bit differently and not be complacent. And that's what we really inspire and help people do in the financial world, whether it's retirement accounts, trading accounts, income strategies, wealth strategies, here at Online Trading Academy.
Right. And you look the last few years, and we mentioned that early in the show, the years go by quickly, and all of a sudden it's not just 1 year, the next, it's 5 and then 10 years. You where you were, and you're not really there. You're really more behind, aren't you?
But some people feel when they're behind, they feel like it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too late. I mean, if you're listening now and you're 50, 55, you're barely at halftime. People are living longer these days. You have almost half of your life to live. Think about how, even though it goes quickly, but think about how long that was. And the worst feeling would be, okay, if you're not comfortable at where you're at financially, do something now, right? Take charge in that now. Take those steps now, so that way you can live life how you choose to live in the future.
Right. All right. Let's give away a couple of tickets anyway. How can folks get in there?
Let's do that. We have free investing classes that we do locally here at the Academy. And we've talked a lot about the type of people that coming in and to these classes. And it's real simple to come into these classes. All you have to do is text in a keyword to a number, and they're going to receive a text back and also a call from one of our associates here at Online Trading Academy to get registered for a class that we do here during the week. We also have these on the weekends. So if you're listening, get your phone ready. I'm going to give that keyword here in a second. But we have these a lot of times on Wednesdays, Thursdays. We do these in the evening as well. Saturday mornings is a great day for most people. So text the word investing to the number 210-210 and do that right now for two free tickets. Text the word investing to the number 210-210. You can also go online. So if you're at home listening to this show, you can go to investwithota.com. That's investwithota.com and pick a date that works the best on your schedule.
All right. Sounds good. Now, the show Investing and Trading Live, heard every Friday from noon to one right here on KLZ 560. What can folks hear from you every week?
You know, a wide variety of topics. We talk a lot about two things in particular, income strategies and wealth strategies. So when I talk about income, so say somebody is working right now and they want to have another income strategy, because that's actually how you build wealth, is having more than one income source. You think about the millionaires and billionaires out there. They don't have one job. Mm-hmm. They have multiple sources of income. So we talk a lot about income strategies for people that are working, but also during retirement, we also talk about those wealth strategies. Different ways to have a strategy to build your wealth, so that way you're not in that position, you know, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, in that same position. So we really inspire people also how to take action to do that, because sometimes that's the toughest thing, is taking action. We give it, you know, we kind of break down how the markets actually work and function, so people know it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Sure. To be a trader or investor, you just have to be trained and have the right skills and education. So we talk a lot about that.
Right, and that's what Online Trading Academy is all about and has been for a number of years. Hey, so text the word, Josh says, take action. It's very simple. Text the word investing to 210-210. Get your two free tickets. You can check out the website, investwithota.com. They have a lot of different classes, a lot of different times, so they'll make sure to get one to fit you. Or give them a call at 888-682-6466. That's 888-682-6466. And again, on Fridays, Investing and Trading Live with Josh Littlequist, the president of Online Trading Academy here in Denver. And that is every Friday from noon to one. So, Josh, we appreciate it, and we look forward to your show, sir.
It's going to be a good time. Stay tuned every week.
Absolutely. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Want to keep making your 30-year payment but own in 15 years? Want to be able to access your equity for future needs and not pay for it now? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been showing Coloradans how to own their home in less time without changing their 30-year payment. Home values are at the highest in their history. Take advantage of being able to access your equity for 10, 20, 30 years without making payments now. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Worried about inflation? Everything getting too expensive? Learn how to be able to access your equity without having to refinance and pay closing costs over and over and over. Do it once and you're good for 30 years. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tired of paying too much interest to own your home? Stop! Learn how to lower your total interest cost. 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001, and where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Watley, and we are glad you're with us. Our show is brought to you by Blake Harris Law. You can check out the website, blakeharrislaw.com. Great website, full of information. Highly recommend you check that out. And Blake's number is 833-ASK-BLAKE. Blake, good to have you on again, sir. How are you?
Scott, always a pleasure to be on the show. Doing great today.
Well, that is great. Well, I tell you, Our last show we did, we talked about cryptocurrency a little bit, and boy, just ran out of time. So I wanted to get you back on and kind of talk about the whole idea of asset protection for cryptocurrency. And so for those that might have missed our last show, kind of give us just what you're seeing with this whole cryptocurrency idea, because it's, I think it's going to be the way we're going to be seeing things here very shortly.
Very, very much so. Very, very much so. Nowadays, if you go into Subway or go into a gas station and you try to pay in Bitcoin, they're going to look at you and say, no, we don't accept Bitcoin. I imagine 10 years from now, if you go into a gas station and try to pay in cash, they're going to say, we don't accept cash. We only accept Bitcoin.
Wow.
It is a better system for managing and transacting with money. It can be done in a way that nobody can lie, nobody can counterfeit. And it's not prone to inflation. Inflation is a trigger word right now, which we're not going to get into. But what we are going to get into is asset protection. I've talked a lot about asset protection on your show, Scott. And today we're going to talk about asset protection, particularly as it relates to cryptocurrency. So with asset protection, our goal is to help make sure that our clients, in the event of a lawsuit, cannot have their assets taken away from them. We live in one of the world's most litigious societies. Thousands of lawsuits are filed every single day. Millions of lawsuits are filed every single year. Billions of dollars are ordered to be paid out in judgments every few days. By putting together an asset protection plan, you can make sure that in the event of a lawsuit, you do not lose your assets. Asset protection is not about evading taxes. It's not about avoiding taxes. It's not about making fraudulent transfers, but it's about putting yourself in a better position to survive a lawsuit than you'd be without the asset protection in place. So when it comes to setting up an asset protection plan, there are lots of different options, plenty of ways, more than one way to skin a cat, but there's really two best options and two primary ways that I do it for my clients. The first is we'll set up a offshore trust. This is often typically done in the Cook Islands. These trusts allow an individual outside the United States to hold assets, and then anytime the client wants some money from a trust, they simply request it from the trustee. The trustee will make a distribution, and then the client will receive an outright distribution, or the trustee will pay the money off for a client to rent them an apartment, pay for their school, pay their credit card bill. But if the client gets sued, the creditor is not going to be able to take money away from the trustee. The trustee is not going to pay out to any third party trying to take money away from our client. The other option is to use our hybrid model, which is a hybrid of an offshore trust and a domestic trust. And we refer to this as our titanium asset protection trust. These trusts are much simpler to set up than the offshore trust. The cost to maintain them is a fraction of the offshore trust. And it also gives the clients the ability to have more control over their assets. With a titanium trust, the clients can serve as trustee of the trust, and then only in the event that somebody is trying to take assets away, then we would have an independent trustee step in and safeguard the assets until the lawsuit passes. Now, when we're talking about real estate, when we're talking about traditional banking accounts, we'd want to put that money into the trust by opening up a bank account or creating a deed to transfer to the trust. With cryptocurrency, you can typically set it up so that you assign the crypto to your trust, and then you are able to manage that crypto yourself. So you don't have to give up any control over your key with this type of trust. Even in the offshore model, the trustee can hire you to be the one to safeguard your key. And then in the event that somebody's trying to take it away, you would hand off the access to that cryptocurrency to a foreign trustee who's not going to pay out anything to a third party. We talked previously about the future of estate planning. The future of asset protection is very similar. When we see the development of smart contracts, what could occur is that in the event that somebody is sued, a smart contract is triggered that removes the assets from the client's hands to the hands of a trustee or the hands of a family member, somebody who's not subject to losing their assets in the lawsuit. So that's the basics of cryptocurrency asset protection. You're going to take your cryptocurrency, you're going to put it into the trust. Maybe you will serve as trustee, maybe you'll have an independent trustee, but if a plaintiff tries to go after your assets, they're not going to be able to collect those assets.
So, Blake, what have people been most surprised to learn? Maybe when they come in and sit down with you for a consultation, they mention they've got some of this cryptocurrency, and then you lay out some of the things that you do and that you educate us on. I'm sure they look at you like, wow, I had no idea.
So there's a lot about cryptocurrency that people are still learning. There's a couple of misconceptions. The first misconception is that it is not taxed. It's not taxed, or it's not being tracked by the IRS. This is certainly not true. The IRS has, first of all, your cryptocurrency is based on blockchain technology. Blockchain technology basically just means that there's a public ledger, which means there's a place where you can go online and view every transaction. And if you are transacting in cryptocurrency, the IRS can trace back and see how every transaction has been done. So if you own cryptocurrency, if you sell cryptocurrency, or if you exchange it for another type of cryptocurrency, this is a taxable event, and you have to report it to the IRS and pay taxes on it. It's different than traditional tax reporting. It's a little bit more complicated. This is definitely an area of law that my firm can help with. If you made some money in cryptocurrency, you want to make sure that you are complying with the requirements of the IRS, contact my law firm, and we can help you get your taxes in order so that the IRS doesn't come and potentially seize or other types of penalties that the IRS could impose on you for failure to pay taxes on cryptocurrency. So that's probably the biggest one. People think that it's hidden. It's not hidden, certainly not if you buy it through an exchange or if your key ever gets used in a way that the IRS sees who the owner of a cryptocurrency address is. It's not private. Yes, it is taxed. There are ways to avoid taxes on it, and there are ways, for example, if you want to purchase a piece of real estate, what my firm has done for clients is they help arrange a loan where the client, instead of selling their cryptocurrency, they borrow against it. The benefit of doing this, number one, is as that crypto appreciates, as the Bitcoin appreciates in value, you don't have to miss out on it because your money's all tied up in a home. But also, you can avoid paying taxes when you borrow against an asset. Ultimately, you can then repay it, and you've enjoyed benefits of that cryptocurrency without having to sell it or pay any taxes on it. So cryptocurrency, it is taxed, it is being tracked and watched, but it's also not subject to being lost there are also ways of mitigating taxes. My firm can certainly help with that as well.
Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy, brought to you by Blake Harris Law, and it's good to have Blake with us. His number, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and I mentioned his website, and I just want to take a second, Blake, and just mention, because, boy, you got a great website, a ton of information, and as we're talking about this crypto stuff, again, you've mentioned this, but you've got a lot of great information there. People can also get a copy of your Ultimate Guide to Estate Planning and Asset Protection. But, folks, it's all about planning now. And that's going to protect our show is Protect Your Legacy. That's going to protect your tomorrow. So you got to get a plan now. Blake does offer an initial free consultation for our listeners to the show. So when you call, just let them know you heard them here on the show. And Blake, it's also, and you brought this up several shows back, but for those that don't know anything about it, we think maybe the word Bitcoin, it's a coin you buy or something like that. But you can actually buy pieces of Bitcoin, right? You can buy it in certain increments?
Right. So, I mean, the current price for a full Bitcoin is $30,000, but most people buy fractions of a Bitcoin. You can buy as small as one penny worth of Bitcoin or even smaller, actually. So if it's something that you are interested in, I recommend going to buy a little bit of Bitcoin, learn how to do it. I'm not necessarily recommending it for investment purposes because I don't want to be liable for investment mistakes, but I will say, or for investment decisions, but I will say, for education purposes, I definitely would recommend exploring Bitcoin and Ethereum, so that you kind of get comfortable with it. And then as you get comfortable with it, as you learn more about it, you may find yourself more interested in investing more into cryptocurrency.
Right. You know, Blake, I think we're all, you know, been through a lot over the last year and a half, and I think people are paying more attention to this whole idea of estate planning and having a plan. I just had to go to Dallas last week for a funeral of friends I've been with forever, 60-something years, and, you know, and boy, talking to them privately after, I said, man, did you guys have all the documents in a row? Man, they had everything that we talk about, and, you know, you're going through hard enough time with everything, but boy, it's nice when everything is laid out, every T is crossed, I dotted, so to speak, and it just makes it so much easier on the family.
Yep. I never send anybody away with three wheels on a car. Clients get a complete estate plan. I walk them through the process and answer any questions they have until they're fully comfortable with what is being set up for them. We always start with the pre-initial consultation, so clients can come in and know exactly what they're going to be getting in for. There's no risk to you. And we're doing a lot of phone and Zoom consults as well. If you want to start the process, just simply give us a call, 833-ASK-BLAKE. A member of my firm will get you scheduled right away with an attorney at our firm so that we can get your estate plan set up so that you can have peace of mind about your future going forward.
Absolutely. And as we've mentioned before, at Blake Harris Law, they will help you with asset protection, which we've talked a little bit about today, estate planning, business law, this matter of cryptocurrency. And boy, who better to help you with this than Blake to just have a good understanding of it. And as I mentioned, it is free lifetime reviews with Blake and so many areas to understand with a family. And, you know, we go through all the medical power of attorney, financial power of attorney, all of those things. And we will do those on more future shows with Blake. But I hope you'll give him a call. Don't put it off anymore. And that is a huge mistake we all make, putting it off. So don't do that. Give Blake a call today. It is a free initial consultation, as we mentioned. Just reach him at 833-ASK-BLAKE and BlakeHarrisLaw.com. Go on and read what others have said about doing business with Blake, and you will see why he is the one we turn to for all of our estate planning needs here at Haystack Help Radio. So, Blake, as always, great information, sir. We appreciate your time, and we will catch up again soon.
Scott, it's always a pleasure being on the show. Thanks so much. Have a great one.
All right, you as well. That's Blake Harris. Thank you for joining us for Protect Your Legacy, 833-ASK-BLAKE.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Before we get back to the show, you know, our eyes are very important. Let me tell you who I've been trusting my eye care to. It is Stack Optical. For over 10 years, hey, Alan's been taking great care of us, and he will take great care of you as well. Their eye exam, folks, is only $69, and it has been $69 for years, and Alan just says, hey, they want to give a great eye exam, a thorough eye exam, and take care of you, so they've never raised that price. So get in, give them a call, 303-321-1578 for all your optical needs. If you're needing a new pair of glasses, hey, you want to have a better experience in the outdoors, whether it's golf, riding your bike, they've got the Stack Sports Pack, so prescription sunglasses. Maybe you've got a hard prescription no one else has been able to figure out. Give Alan Stack a chance at Stack Optical. Of course, they can handle repairs, your contacts, all of it, right there at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com is the website. And always tell you, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesch continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get a rattle. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food Chat. This is Chef Jackson Lamb along with Greg Bloom. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hey, good to see you, Chef.
Greg, we have quite the show lined up today, don't we?
We do. We have a great guest. I'm so excited to talk to Nina.
And tell us a little bit about Nina before she gets here.
Yeah, well, Nina Teicholz wrote a book that I believe was a bestseller. It was it's called The Big Fat Surprise. And what is The Big Fat Surprise? Well, it's why saturated fats were demonized. During my whole upbringing, and even today, you go to the doctor and they tell you, oh, you need to cut back on your meat and your dairy and your cheese. Actually, the subtitle of her book is Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. So we're going to talk to Nina about why she wrote this book and where she got the idea from.
Greg, we've been hearing those warnings for years.
We have, and still today we hear them.
And still today. But I had read Nina's overview. I can't wait to have her unravel all this.
Yeah, me too. And, I've read this book twice. It's actually a nutritional thriller. You know, a lot of times these books that are years and years of research compiled can be kind of dry and boring, but this book is not that way. This book's actually like a nutritional thriller, and I would encourage people, if they've never picked up this book or heard of this book, The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. I asked my doctor. He told me when I go in for my annual checkup, he always tells me, based on a survey I fill out about how I eat, a self-reported survey about, you know, what I'm eating during the week. And I eat meat a lot. I eat a lot of meat, ate a lot of cheese. We talked about cheese last week.
Sure.
And he tells me every time, you need to cut back on your cheese and your meat. And I ask him, why? My cholesterol is not high. I'm not diabetic. I'm very healthy. I'm very lean for, you know, a 55-year-old person. So why do I need to cut back? He said, well, but it's all about cholesterol. I said, I don't have high cholesterol. But he just thinks he need to cut back to be healthier. And I asked him, why do you think that? And he said, that's what I learned in school. But he went to school, you know, 30 years ago.
I agree. You know, having read the overview from Nina, she's going to unravel a couple of mysteries out there. And it's pretty interesting how research gets conducted.
It does.
And how some facts are just hidden, aren't they?
Nina, I see you're on the show with us now. Welcome to Food Chat.
Hi, so good to be here with you all.
I'm here with Chef Jackson Lamb, professor at Metropolitan State University in Denver. And you know me, Nina, and I'm so glad you could call in and talk to us. So we have some questions for you, Nina. We're going to jump right into the heart of our time with you because we don't have that much time today, and you have a lot to say. So would you tell our audience that has never heard of your book just a little bit about why you wrote this book and what was the premise of your book and what are the conclusions that you drew from writing this book and doing all that research?
Absolutely. Hearing your story, Greg, it's just a little, the origin of my book really is a little bit like yours, where I was writing a newspaper, a review of restaurants in New York City, and I had been a vegetarian for 20 years or more. And I was going to all these restaurants. We couldn't afford to pay for the meals. And so the chefs would just send out whatever they thought was their best food. And I was presented with all this red meat, creamy sauces, all these things that I hadn't eaten or had avoided for a very long time, and they were delicious, surprising, earthy, textured foods, but I thought I was killing myself. So I went to my doctor, and he said, look, your cholesterol looks better than ever, and I had just sort of effortlessly lost weight eating this type of food. And so that really created this kind of paradox in my mind. How can I be eating all these things that I thought were healthy? I mean, sorry, were bad for me, and yet I look healthier than ever. So that, and also some assignments from a magazine editor. I mean, I'm a journalist, so that compelled me to really take a deep dive into this question of dietary fat. I mean, why do we believe that fat, and especially saturated fat, which is why we avoid meat and cheese, why do we believe they're bad for health? This led me to almost a decade of research in for my book, The Big Fat Surprise, and it was just astonishing what I found. For one, I found that although I had always viewed scientists, I'm the daughter of an engineer, I'd always thought science was this cool, measured process of, you know, idea, counter-idea, hypothesis, counter-hypothesis. I found people who were just terrified to talk to me, who would hang up the phone on me. I felt sometimes like I was investigating the mob because there was clearly so much politics in this field and so much money from food companies and pharmaceutical companies. I found studies, about $1 billion worth of studies funded by the National Institutes of Health that had been sort of covered up or forgotten, or, you know, they call them silent studies, studies that are never published. But it really goes back to this, you know, where does this idea that saturated fat is bad for health comes from? The 1950s, when the nation was in a panic about the rising tide of heart disease, and there was one researcher named Ansel Keys from the University of Minnesota who came in, and his idea was that it was saturated fat and cholesterol. And the whole nation was completely focused on this question because President Eisenhower in 1955 had had a heart attack and was out of the Oval Office for 10 days. So there was a kind of panic about this question of heart disease. And Ansel Keys stepped into this void where nobody really knew the answer. And his idea, his hypothesis, sort of carried the day. And starting in 1961, the American Heart Association, in the first ever official advice anywhere in the world, told Americans to cut back on saturated fat and cholesterol to avoid a heart attack. That was really the beginning of it all.
Right.
You know, it seems like we've known this forever, but it really, you know, it's been... it's been 60 years that we've lived with this idea. That idea has been tested in large clinical trials, like the best sort of evidence, experiments on this. And they just have, they were never able to show, they were never able to prove that Ansel Keys' idea was correct. And the question is, why don't we know this? And that's because those studies, you know, really, I was one of the first people to unearth those studies, to stitch them together into a story, to bring the attention to the researchers. And, you know, my conclusion and the conclusions now of many other scientists is that saturated fats do not cause heart disease, have no effect on heart disease, and replacing them with polyunsaturated vegetable oils does not improve your chances of avoiding a heart attack or death from cardiovascular disease.
Nina, I'm reflecting on life in the 50s. Yes, I'm that old. But, you know, also in the 1950s, early 60s, the amount of smoking people did was unbelievable. Oh, but that has no connection to heart disease or any of the other related problems that we have in our health. So I love the fact that you're just a little bit of a detective when it came to peeling back a couple of layers on this issue.
It is detective work, really. It takes the skills of an investigative journalist to understand, well, what are the vested interests here, and where is the money coming from? You know, nutrition journalists generally don't behave like other journalists where they ask the question, follow the money. You know, where is the money coming from? And it turns out that there was a massive amount of money flowing into the American Heart Association from vegetable oil companies who wanted people consuming their products. How do they do that? They do that by demonizing saturated fat. And of course, you're right, there are other explanations about what causes heart disease, but we've been so focused on this one explanation that others have really been sidelined. why we have not made so much progress on heart disease, other than, you know, I agree with you, smoking. The campaign against smoking has probably made a difference.
Nina, so since you published your book and you've been speaking on this topic and doing more research, and I see you're very active in the nutrition world, tell us what's going on. Have we turned the corner on this idea that saturated fats are bad for you? So there's a lot going on right now. There's a White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health coming up. There's this new study by Tufts University. Why don't you talk about that? There's new study that came out by Tufts showing that meat consumption increases the risk of heart disease.
So that was a study that came out last year. Oh, sorry, this one just came out just recently, and it showed that, it claimed to show that red meat causes heart disease via a mechanism, this metabolite in our gut called trimethylamine N-oxide. Let's just call it TMAO. And so there's really a couple of big things wrong with this study. One is, you know, does TMAO cause heart disease? I mean, what is this metabolite and why are we focusing on it? So I looked into that. I mean, it turns out there's really all the studies that they cite are from mice, not from humans. The data on humans is iffy and very tenuous. So, you know, why focus on TMAO? And it turns out that if you look into the history of the research on this, it goes back to 2011, and since 2015, this research at the Cleveland Clinic, they've been in a major partnership with Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble, they, with Cleveland Clinic, is developing tests and devices and drugs targeted at TMAO. So they have every incentive to find something wrong with TMAO. Even though the experiment, as I said, the data on humans is just not very robust. And, you know, it's also, you know, another bit of detective work. If you go back and look at the studies on TMAO, what causes TMAO in to be excreted from in the urine of humans, and therefore that's what this study was measuring? Fish, not meat.
Wow.
It turns out that halibut, if you eat halibut, that is 100, that yields 100 times more TMAO than red meat. And cod, 65 times more. And also what causes more TMAO are carrots, cauliflower, peas, peanuts, and potatoes, more than beef. So, you know, why this focus on meat causing TMAO when these other foods cause more? And again, it's a story of, you know, one of the authors has received a tremendous amount of money from the food industry, from interests that are not, you know, that are, they win, let's just say, like Barilla Pasta, they win if people are shunning meat and turning to pasta. So that's just one conflict of interest. But it's really hard to understand nutrition studies without understanding kind of the background of vested interests behind them.
Another topic in the news lately, other than this TEF study, which you just addressed, thank you, is this new thing that I didn't even know about until about 2 weeks ago, Nina, this Food Compass, I think was published in the Natural Food in 2021, and I can't pronounce the author's name very well, so I won't even try, but tell us about this Food Compass. I saw something on social media, a chart that was, I think you posted and many other people posted it too, but it's just showing that recommended foods and foods that you should avoid. And to be encouraged, you know, you've got up there frosted mini wheats and, you know, some good things, but Honey Nut Cheerios and frosted mini wheats are in the recommended. And then down at the bottom, to be discouraged or to be minimized in your diet, at the bottom, at the rock bottom, the last one on the list is ground beef. So would you tell us about that Food Compass?
Well, that is such an astonishing study that I think, you know, I posted that on social media and people, honestly, they thought it was satire. It's a nutrient profiling system called the Food Compass. It's a food rating system. And it was developed at Tufts University, again, and by the lead author is Darush Mozafarian, and it's important to know his name because he's one of the most powerful nutrition scientists and leaders in the country, and he's the leading scientist on the White House Conference on Nutrition, Hunger, and Health, and which is happening next month in Washington, D.C. And so how could he come out with this chart showing that, you know, frosted mini wheats, Lucky Charms are better than a whole egg? You know, frosted mini wheat scores 86 points. cheddar cheese, a natural food without any sugar in it, has 28 points. I mean, chocolate-covered almonds score in the green zone. And in the red zone, as you said, is ground beef, a whole egg fried in butter. Ice cream cone with nuts scores higher than an egg. So it's really kind of an astonishing publication. And, you know, we could go through, like, you know, some of the assumptions that they made. They assumed that they gave a very low importance to protein, complete proteins that come from animal foods. They penalized animal foods. It was built into their model that to downgrade them because of their saturated fat and cholesterol content, even though those nutrients don't cause heart disease, as we talked about. And so the highest score that meat could get in this system was, according to one calculation, only 73 points, but it ended up scoring 26 points when everything was taken out of it. I mean, it's sort of like a Valentine to big food. And these were cereals, you know, altogether like 70 cereals from Kellogg's and Post that were named by brand name. So, I mean, it reflects clearly the interests of kind of the big multinational food companies. And it's very, you know, it's very disturbing when we think about this being the views of the leadership in nutrition science. I mean, it's clearly not in the interest of the public health.
Nina, you mention General Mills, Kellogg's, and Post, and the cereals there. In your paper, you also mentioned the Gates Foundation. Could you shed a little light on what the Gates Foundation is doing?
Well, Dr. Mozafarian from Tufts receives money from the Gates Foundation, and you know, I can't make this direct connection, but we know that Bill Gates has been one of the most active proponents against shunning red meat in order to save the planet for climate purposes. He thinks that there people in America should eat no beef at all. And he is also was the largest investor in both Impossible Burger and Beyond Burger. So he has a fairly large conflict of interest there, being a financial investor in these.
You know, also on your paper here, you talk about Procter and Gamble and how they get involved with this. You know, they've got cleaning supplies, they've got every kind of a food item out there in the market, and I would imagine they're involved to try to tip the scale in their favor. Can you shed a little more light on Procter & Gamble?
I think the story that is most stunning about Procter & Gamble is really what they did dozens of years ago when they were the ones to really launch the American Heart Association. And back in 1948, when cardiology was a really tiny discipline because people were only starting to have heart attacks, remember that heart disease was rare to non-existent in the early 1900s, Procter & Gamble designated the American Heart Association as the recipient of this radio contest. And overnight, according to the Heart Association's own history, millions flew into their coffers and turned them into the national powerhouse. They're the largest nonprofit in America that they are today. And so Procter & Gamble really was the most influential founder of that association. And, you know, some years later, the American Heart Association became the most powerful proponent of this idea that we should use vegetable oils instead of saturated fats. Well, what does Procter & Gamble make? Crisco oil. And actually, one of the members of a scientist who's a member of the Heart Association at the time, you know, wrote a letter to the president of the Heart Association saying, you know, you shouldn't be posing with bottles of Crisco oil. I consider this to be rank commercialism. You know, Procter & Gamble has remained a large donor of the Heart Association, and the Heart Association continues to recommend polyunsaturated vegetable oils over saturated fats. You know, we didn't talk about this, but in the last 10 years, the science on saturated fats there have been groups of scientists all over the world who have gone back and reviewed all the data on saturated fats, and really there's been a sea change on thinking on that, to say, look, we do not believe that saturated fats has an effect on heart disease. And in fact, let's take a deeper look at these vegetable oils, because they are, you know, they cause massive oxidation. And in the clinical trials where they replace saturated fats, people who were on the high vegetable oil diet died of much higher rates of cancer, which was never explained. So, you know, our whole paradigm about what we believe about fats, good fat, bad fat, non-fat, low fat, I mean, that has really changed in the scientific community, even though it has filtered up to official policy recommendations.
Regarding that, Nina, what are you thinking we're going to see off the next round of dietary guidelines? You've been very involved over the last 10 years, I believe, with the dietary guidelines, and there's this advisory committee. And for some people that may not understand, maybe you can just talk a little bit about how often they meet and do they use this new information that's become available about saturated fats, or are they stuck in the mud in their old ways? So, and a lot of people tell me too, Nina, you know, I don't even care what the government recommends the dietary guidelines because I don't follow the food pyramid anyway. But you could speak to why the dietary guidelines are important.
Well, I mean, if your child gets school lunches, if you, the food in nursing homes, the food in the military, the food in almost all institutional settings, in hospitals, I mean, all of that is informed by the dietary guidelines. And our children are going to school and getting, you know, a donut and orange juice for breakfast. The dietary guidelines recommends 3 servings of refined grains every day. Their kids are given, they're given Sun Chips for lunch. I mean, I think we all know the low quality of that food. And it's because the food pyramid, or really it's now known as My Plate, is based on just very outdated data. And so these guidelines really do affect pretty much everyone. And they are based on outdated science. I mean, to answer your question, no, they have not. They have not updated their science to reflect the new thinking on saturated fats. I mean, we personally took that science to them. We had scientists talk to their staff members, and we submitted all the current science, and there was just there's a lot of food industry interest in the USDA, and we did a study that found that 95% of the expert committee reviewing the science had at least one conflict of interest with the food industry. So you consider their ability to objectively and honestly evaluate the current science.
Mm. Do you think there's hope for the next round? I think, what do they meet, every 5 years? Is that right?
Yes, and they're just about to start this new round of the guidelines. And, you know, what can I say? It is, you know, it's the Titanic. It's not going to turn around anytime quickly or deftly. I mean, it's been a policy that's been in place for 40 years. So, and it has just massive investments in it. And so I think it will be tough, but, you know, we've made some progress, and I think we will continue to.
Nina, when we talk about the food pyramid, and of course we've all grown up with those images, does that come under the jurisdiction of the USDA or the FDA?
So the food pyramid, which is just a graphic representation of the guidelines, that is under the USDA together with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. They co-issue the guidelines. But the USDA takes a much bigger role because the office where the science is reviewed is housed inside USDA. So it really will, even if, you know, the agencies kind of trade off on who takes the lead, but the USDA, those officials will always be the ones who are in charge of the science.
Excellent answer. Thank you so much.
Nina, tell us a little bit about the Nutrition Coalition and what they're all about and what work they do.
The Nutrition Coalition is a nonprofit group that I founded about 5 years ago. It accepts no money from industry, so we're really one of the only groups in the country who, you know, is working towards trying to get the science into the guidelines. We're really trying to have that policy be based on the latest and most rigorous science. And we're a watchdog group as well. We keep track of what's going on. We reveal conflicts of interest, even though these agencies won't disclose them willingly. We go in and dig around and ensure that people know about them. And, you know, we're a coalition of scientists, doctors, average citizens, people who care that their nutrition policy, you know, because it's so influential, because it affects what we eat in our communities and what we have access to, and, you know, people desperately need these recommendations to be accurate. And to when you think about in the context of obesity and diabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, I mean, one in six Americans at least, 60% of Americans at least have one or more of these diet-related chronic diseases, and all the trend lines on those are only getting worse. So, you know, we have a lot of data to show that Americans have, on the whole, followed the guidelines. We eat, you know, more fruits and vegetables. We eat 28% less red meat than we did 30 years ago, and 35% less beef. We eat more vegetable oils. We eat less butter. We eat fewer eggs. We eat, you know, in every category that you can study, Americans have shifted their eating patterns in line with the guidelines, and yet look at our health. It's only gotten worse.
Nina, I'm totally in agreement with you. I have been teaching food science at Metropolitan State University for the last 20 years. But when I go to my local supermarket and when I see what some people put in their shopping cart, I'm appalled. And I think it is all about education.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. It really is a fundamental problem that we aren't giving people the right advice. And that's why it's so important to change these guidelines, because right now, what is being taught to medical students, what's being taught in K through 12 education, are these guidelines that are based on outdated science. I mean, Greg, when you said your doctor was in school 30 years ago, if he went to school today, he would still get the wrong advice.
Right, so he would. I know.
Until the science can really penetrate these kinds of rigid policies, we will not see change in the educational system.
I agree. Nina, we're already out of time. We're going to have you back on this fall after this White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health to get an update. And I would like to encourage people to, A, read your book, The Big Fat Surprise, and also follow you on social media. You're on Twitter at The Big Fat Surprise. And where else can people follow you on social media and kind of follow your work, Nina?
Well, I'm doing a newsletter on unsettled science. It's called Unsettled Science at the Substack column. You can find that on my Twitter feed, or I post it on my Facebook page, which is Nina Teicholz. And that's where I analyze studies like this. If you want to take a deep dive and understand the latest headlines, or you know, understand something more about what's really going on in nutrition, then please follow me there.
Yeah, I would tell her, just go to The Big Fat Surprise, at The Big Fat Surprise on Twitter, and you can find all of the stuff Nina's working on. So hey, thank you so much for joining us today and for calling in. It was good to talk to you, Nina.
Thank you so much for having me both.
Thank you, Nina.
Today's edition of Food Chat is brought to you by RanchFreshMeats.com. Ranch Fresh Meats finds the best quality local meat products from family farms and ranches that we know personally. Everyone's trying to save money these days on food with food inflation, so one great way to do that is go to RanchFreshMeats.com, and at the bottom of the homepage, there's a place to sign up for our weekly newsletter. And when you do that, every Monday, you'll get an email from RanchFreshMeats.com with something that's on special. And we get specials every week from the family farms that we source from. So go to RanchFreshMeats.com and sign up.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring. Turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.